This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. In the recent past, first-year teachers in Bethel have had to find their own housing, a challenge for someone who's never been here. This year, the Lower Kuskokwim School District offered transitional housing for some first-year teachers in Bethel, but some school board members didn't think it was fairly implemented. The district administration explained the alternative would have been fewer teachers. KYUK's Greg Kim has more.
Director of Personnel Josh Gill delivered some bad news at the last LKSD school board meeting. They still had 10 open positions, and it was almost December.
I've been in this position for 5 years. I would say this is definitely one of the largest numbers that I've had at this time of year.
But Gill says it could have been worse, with even more open positions, specifically in Bethel. That's because even after teachers agreed to come to Bethel, some of them couldn't find housing. Superintendent Dan Walker described the situation.
We had people turning us down, signing up, and then turning us down.
So back in July, the district offered transitional housing to 9 teachers who still needed a place to live. School board member Michael Husa thought it was unfair not to offer it to all first-year Bethel teachers.
What message did we send to those 21 other teachers?
Another board member, Thor Williams, had an issue with the $48,000 used to subsidize the housing and the way it was authorized.
Why didn't you come back to the board and ask for funding for this?
Walker said he made an emergency decision to prevent a worse situation.
We had a choice. Do we have 6 or 7 open positions at BRHS and other places? Or do we spend $40,000 or $50,000 to have some transitional housing?
Gill says the difficulty filling teaching positions is a statewide issue. He described thousands of candidates attending Alaska teacher placement fairs back in the 90s. Last year, he said there were only 153.
The heydays where there were just a massive pools of people out there gone.
Gill says one of the factors LKSD could control is competitive pay. He says teacher salaries have increased dramatically in the lower 48 in recent years as the economy there has boomed.
For it to go up as much as it has is pretty amazing. So that's something we gotta look at, you know, as a district.
But more important, Superintendent Dan Walker says, is the state's teacher retirement benefits, which now pales in comparison with other states. Gill says there is still an incentive for new teachers.
It's the idea of coming to Alaska.
But then Gill says teachers fill up on Alaskan Adventure after a few years and go back home, and the district has to find another young teacher to continue that cycle. For now, the Bethel teaching positions are filled, and Gill says some of the other open positions in the district are staffed by itinerant teachers. He will continue attending fall job fairs and try to fill the remaining teaching positions by January. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
And no night flights or medevacs have been able to land on the native village of Quinnahock's runway for the past 2 months. And it doesn't look like they will be able to anytime soon. That's because the lights are out and the tribe is trying to figure out what to do. Patrick Leland just returned from checking out the airstrips at Quinnahock's airport.
And there are some that are pulled out or have popped out. And there is one that is... looks like it was pulled out and the wires are showing.
He's not sure how long the lights have been out. He and others noticed the lights were out around September as the nights got longer. It was obvious they were not working. Kids have vandalized lights at rural airstrips before, but Cleveland doesn't know if that's what happened in Quinnahock. Cleveland says the man who maintains the runway denies damaging the lights.
There was another source of damage that caused that. You know?
It's put the tribe in a tough position. The native village of Quinnahock took over the airport from the state in the 1990s, and that means they have to pay for lights and repairs. Shannon McCarthy is the spokesperson for the State Department of Transportation. She says the tribe has a couple of options. They can apply for funding from the state, which oversees money from the Federal Aviation Administration.
But in terms of actually getting the funding, they would have to work with their funding partner, which is FAA.
In the meantime, Quinnahock has shut down the airport to all night flights until the end of the month and possibly longer. The tribe is also advertising for a contractor to repair the lights. Cleveland says one contractor has expressed interest so far. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger. And finally, an ongoing measles epidemic in Samoa has killed more than 30 people and sickened thousands more, prompting the government to close schools and launch a mass vaccination campaign. This is all happening thousands of miles from Alaska, but as Alaska Public Media's Kirsten Swan reports, Alaska health officials are paying attention.
Matthew Bobo is the state of Alaska's immunization program manager. He says that as of 2016, more than 10% of Alaska kids aged 2 and under had not yet been vaccinated against the measles.
So there might be a case floating around in the population, and if your child doesn't have that protection, then they could possibly get the illness.
There hasn't been a reported case of measles in Alaska since a Kenai Peninsula teenager was diagnosed in July. And nationwide, there were only 10 cases reported in the month of October. But Alaskans have family ties all over the globe, and Anchorage is known as the air crossroads of the world. So when it comes to contagious diseases like the measles, Bobo says public health officials think internationally.
Alaskans travel all over the world, so there's always the potential to get an import case coming into our state. So we're always constantly monitoring.
Public health officials are also taking steps to spread awareness. In Anchorage, the homepage of the Public Health Department website features a public health alert telling visitors what they need to know to protect against the disease. The last case of measles reported in Anchorage happened in 2015. But Drew Shannon, a public health nurse with the Anchorage Health Department, says it's important to be vaccinated.
An outbreak is only a plane ride away, so if somebody gets infected where they're having an outbreak in another country, they can return to Alaska with that infection and then spread it to those who are most at risk and vulnerable for it.
Infants, pregnant women, and people with compromised immune systems are particularly vulnerable to infection, according to the Federal Centers for Disease Control. The surest way to protect those members of a community is through herd immunity. And to reach herd immunity when it comes to measles, researchers say a community must have a vaccination rate of above 90%. In Samoa, the measles vaccination rate plunged below 40% last year, according to estimates from the World Health Organization. In Alaska, meanwhile, measles vaccination rates hover around 88%. Public health officials say that number has remained mostly stable over the years. But when you factor in immunization rates for other vaccine-preventable illnesses, from polio to chickenpox and mumps, Alaska's vaccination rate plunges to around 69%. Shannon, the Anchorage public health nurse, says health officials have noticed a troubling trend.
We are seeing a small but increasing proportion of children that received no vaccine. So even though the total coverage rate has gone up, we've got more kids completing the vaccine, but at the same time we have more children receiving no vaccines at all.
Public health officials say there's no clear reason for the growing number of unvaccinated kids. But as Samoa's measles epidemic shows, it can have deadly consequences. The most effective way to boost the numbers? Health officials say it's all about improving education and access. Immunizations are currently available at public health centers around the state. In Anchorage, I'm Kirsten Swan.
In a previous story about Quinnahock's airport, KYUK misidentified the Federal Aviation Administration as the Federal Aviation Agency. We regret the error. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.